Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for February 16th, 2013.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
What the public should know is that apes are very complex creatures, almost as complex as ourselves.
We benefit from having someone who can do a bunch of things to help the baby emerge from the birth canal.
I'm here at the AAAS annual meeting in Boston, Massachusetts, where scientists have gathered from around the world to share big ideas, tackle global issues, and also discuss just plain cool science stuff. Researchers are discussing how to treat psychological problems in chimpanzees and why childbirth is such an ordeal in humans, but not in apes. We got those stories for you. Also, how chemistry detectives have solved an art mystery. But first, Suzanne Bard says researchers have unveiled ultra-thin sensors that can monitor your brain activity.
Imagine ultra-thin, flexible sensors that attach to the forehead and monitor brain signals, transmitting the data wirelessly. They're no longer the stuff of science fiction, according to University of California San Diego engineer and neuroscientist Todd Coleman, who says they could eventually replace the large and clunky EEG machines typically used to track brain activity.
These are very thin sensors off the thickness of human hair that can bend and stretch naturally with the skin.
In fact, they're so small they can be embedded in what basically amounts to a temporary tattoo. He says this can make it much easier to monitor Alzheimer's symptoms or other mental health conditions.
And so now what we've been able to do more recently is we've been able to take these epidermal or tattoo electronics and mount them onto the surface of your forehead. We can optimize it so that once you slap it on your forehead and we provide you a smartphone and we play question and answer games with your brain by either displaying images or playing sounds or combinations of both, we can start to pick up on different aspects of your cognition.
Coleman and his colleagues are currently testing another application of the technology, monitoring the brain rhythms of at-risk babies.
10% of babies are born prematurely, and if a baby is born prematurely, there's a high likelihood that they will have seizures or some type of other brain injury that needs to be monitored electrically. And so having a way to rapidly monitor babies' brains, and we're talking about 10% of all babies born, is a huge need.
The monitors can also be adapted for use with pregnant mothers.
And so you basically put these in a sort of a downward configuration on the mom's belly, and with that you can pick up uterine contractions as well as fetal heart rate. You can also pick up the mom's respiration signal as well as the mom's heart rate signal. And so now you can be monitoring all these different aspects of her pregnancy while she's at home. So I think one of the things that we could do by having this continuous monitoring is we could perhaps develop a better understanding of epidemiology of preterm birth.
They're testing the sensors on pregnant mothers in San Diego with the hopes of eventually making them available for use in the developing world.
You make this small enough, we have the antenna on here, and you can transmit this to a smartphone. You know, there's more smartphones in some parts of the developing world than there is running water. So that's a very unique opportunity for someone to be able to monitor the signals, even if they're 1,000 miles away, to provide insight.
He says when mass-produced, tattoo electronics could be very inexpensive for people living in poorer regions of the world.
Thanks, Suzanne. In recent years, high-tech science has been teaming up with the art world to solve mysteries about old masterpieces. Reporter Justin Warner has the latest.
It's long been suspected that Picasso was among the first major artists to work with house paint, which produces a glossy finish and hides brush strokes. But it hadn't been proven. To settle the matter, the Art Institute of Chicago teamed up with Argonne National Laboratory physicist Volker Rose.
I have a history in studying zinc oxide nanostructures.
And zinc oxide is a major component of white paint. Rose's team used high-energy X-rays to look at Picasso's paintings on the nanometer scale, resolving features 1,000 times finer than a human hair. That allowed them to match the paint to an early commercial house paint made by the French company Ripolin.
This is not conclusively possible with other tools to really determine if house paint was used or not used.
Zinc oxide and its impurities were, in fact, key to the detective work. Rose says the X-ray technology, which is already used in a wide range of scientific fields, could be applied to other issues in art history and conservation.
Now we can open for this community a new approach to their problems.
Thanks for that report, Justin. For our closest relatives, the great apes, giving birth is easy and painless. So why is human childbirth so difficult and, until modern times, fraught with peril? University of Delaware biological anthropologist Karen Rosenberg has pondered this question for many years.
You know, you would think if you were trying to design a system of getting a baby outside of its mammalian mother, that you would try to make it as straightforward as possible. And in particular, from an evolutionary point of view, you would try to make it safe, right? Because obviously if we're trying to maximize reproductive success, it's very bad if the baby dies and it's very bad if the mother dies. But the way that we give birth is at best uncomfortable and at worst risky.
She says a narrow pelvis built for walking upright, along with an extraordinarily large brain, are to blame for childbirth's challenges. But to persist through time, this uncomfortable combination must be worth the trouble.
I think what that shows you is that the advantages of having large brains must outweigh the disadvantages.
She says one factor that decreases the danger is our species' unusual habit of giving birth with other people around.
And this is in really sharp contrast to the way that apes give birth. We think that that's because we benefit from having someone who can do a bunch of things to help the baby emerge from the birth canal that other animals can do for themselves, but that humans can't do for ourselves.
She says that the emotional, social, and physical support not only ameliorates the risks of childbirth, but also helps parents take care of the large, helpless babies that follow. The use of great apes for biomedical research has long been controversial. This is due in part to the propensity of captive chimpanzees to develop psychiatric disorders. Now researchers are trying to help them live more normal lives. Suzanne has that story.
Chimpanzees in captivity sometimes develop behaviors that resemble psychiatric disorders in humans. According to Martin Bruna of the University Hospital in Bochum, Germany, these can include depression, self-mutilation, social withdrawal, and repetitive behaviors like rocking back and forth. But surprisingly, medications such as Zoloft can be very effective.
I'm really surprised how well this works in the chimps. A similar condition in the human would never respond that well to such simple interventions.
He says the drug could help some chimpanzees adjust to retirement from biomedical research. Nonetheless, Bruna says that their potential for developing psychological problems in captivity is one reason European countries have stopped using chimps for such research. He adds that the U.S. is considering similar measures.
What the public should know is that apes are very complex creatures, almost as complex as ourselves.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we will have more thrilling stories from the world of science just for you. But why wait? You can tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. And you can find it at our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or even follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.